Now, in studio, I have none other than Aisling Larkin. Aisling, good morning.
Good morning, Damien.
Thank you very much for joining me. And special mention to Jack Molloy and Son on in terms of the Craft Butchers in Barrack Street. You've got the three children outside.
I do have the three children outside. We got an emergency last minute. No school due to electricity, ESB works.
Oh.
So I have three. It's like Mama Duck and the three little Baba Ducks coming to work today.
What's their names? We'll say hello to them.
Isabella and Amelia and Donna.
Lovely.
Yeah, and they're great. Sure, look, they're well used to it. What's a bit of an adventure for the day? We'll get it all done, Damien.
We're going down to Waterford to see that big Egypt, you know. Firstly, congratulations on your marathon.
Half marathon, and thank you very much.
Very welcome.
Yes, I am absolutely delighted. It was...
Just remind our listeners, what did you do?
Yeah, so went to New York. So signed up for a half marathon in New York maybe October. I'm not a runner. Like, I'm barely a 5K or doing the odd old 10K, but 10K felt like... so hard. So myself and another girl, Maria, we put in place kind of a training plan, and so 190 people travelled over together from Ireland to do it as part of a different kind of group or whatever. We went for 4 or 5 days, and so there was 28,500 people who ran. So this one, they closed down Times Square. They closed down, so this was the first year, I think, since either, I think it was around 2018 that the Brooklyn Bridge had been back open. So we got to run over the Brooklyn Bridge, and we got to go through Times Square, finish in Central Park, like thing of a lifetime, you know what I mean? It really will be a thing of a lifetime. And for me, it was a huge achievement. You know, I had to commit to the training. I had to do it. I needed really high motivation to kind of commit myself to it. And like, running through New York is just one of those things that you kind of go, when will I ever? I mean, the streets are closed down, the whole city like closes down if you get to do this. So it was absolutely amazing. So I think I've caught a slight bug. So we have signed up for the Waterford Viking half in June, so we're going to do that, and we'll do other little ones in and out between. But I think we feel like we've kind of come so far, and we're not fast, like, you know, but we're really getting there, you know. And I think it's that, you know, you kind of see that improvement, and you can shock yourself sometimes in what you're capable of doing if you put yourself to it. You know, you kind of get to a stage in life where you're going, I need something for me as well a little bit. So yeah, delighted with that endeavour.
Did a half marathon once with my friend Tony Farrell, and I really enjoyed it. And again, a couple of times during the running, when I stopped talking, Tony used to give out to me for talking too much. You'd feel a kind of a little bit of an adrenaline burst, a bit of a buzz, a bit of a... the pain would kind of disappear, and you'd feel really good about yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
It happens with running sometimes.
It does.
It?
And we got, I have it up on my Instagram. Aisling Larkin is the Instagram. And I put a couple of pictures up there. And they're by far not the most flattering pictures I've ever seen, but you can see in my face. Yeah. I'm so happy. There's a happiness to it, you know? And I think that's really nice as well.
Okay. The girls and lads are looking in. Big wave there, big wave. We'll get them in for a picture in a little while. Mother's Day on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, the irony of it all, we're talking about Mother's Day. Talk about doing the mothering today. I'm looking forward to a rest on Sunday, Damien, I can tell you that.
You've got beautiful scones here in front of me, buttermilk scones. You've got a hummingbird cake or something like that.
Yes, we do.
So talk to me about scones first, if you want.
Yeah, look, I suppose for me, Mother's Day, right, if we step it back just a little bit, is... It has become quite commercial. Mother's Day came about, right, by this lovely lady called Anna Jarvis in the States back in like 1905, 1906 kind of a thing. And her mom had, she heard her mom one night saying a prayer going, God, I wish someone would just think about us mums and all the work that we do. And her mom passed away a year or two later, and she wanted to remember her mom. So she set up a memorial kind of little mass in her local church, and she handed out white carnations, and she got everybody just to write a little letter of gratitude and thanks to their moms. And she read out one for her mom. So this kind of proceeded, and she did it for a couple of years. And then for the moms who were alive, they got a red or a pink carnation. And for the moms who had passed, a white carnation was handed out. But everybody would write a little letter of gratitude and thanks about their mom and for all their mom does for them. So this is where then this Mother's Day kind of came about. So she campaigned with the government, and it was written into law that Mother's Day is an actual day in the calendar in the United States. So this, theirs was May, and here kind of in Europe we're March always for Mother's Day. So I think that's where the tradition came from. Hallmark and the likes then jumped on the bandwagon and tried to rob it from her. So she actually ended up spending so much of her life campaigning against them. So I think it's about the simplicity. For me, Mother's Day is about the simplicity. It's not about the big show. It's not about, you know, overly expensive anything. It's about the little handmade cards and it's about the little handmade things. And there's a guy called Dr. Gary Chapman, and he talks about love languages, right? So we've got five different ways that we like to receive love or express love and give love. So acts of service, words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, or physical touch. So before anybody rushes out ahead of Mother's Day, whoever you're buying for, and it's Mothering Sunday, so it's sometimes dads act as moms, sometimes it's grannies, we've got loads of different people. But it's think about that human. Who is that mother figure? And think, how do they like to get love? Is it acts of service? Is it just having quality time together? Maybe it's going for a walk, going to the forest, going to the beach. Maybe it's those words of affirmation where you make a card, you write a card, but it has a couple of heartfelt words as opposed to, thanks for everything, ma'am, love Jack, you know, or whatever it is. Just put maybe, but it depends on what that mom likes.
You don't have to burst the bank.
You don't.
You just have to do something that is nice, a little bit different maybe, or a reaffirmation of whatever love you feel. Again, it'll be sad for a lot of people because they'll have lost their mother.
Absolutely.
But just think about what you're doing. Is that what you're saying?
Have a
little
think about it. It's putting a little bit of kind of conscious thought into it, first of all, and making sure that you're angling what you're doing for the person who they'd appreciate it. Like, there's no point in turning up with something big and showy if actually, like, I'm the human who love acts of service. Just make me a little bit of breakfast in bed,
so
or a cup of tea.
They're listening outside now. They've
breakfast
arranged
in bed, breakfast but not in actually bed. In bed. But yeah, so what I've done...
Because the crumbs.
The bloody crumbs. Oh, jeez. Don't get me started. I can't do breakfast in bed at all. I'm like, come on now, we'll just move down to the kitchen table. Thanks very much. That's lovely.
Okay, talk to me.
Scones. Buttermilk scones are one of the easiest ones to do. So I am brand ambassador for Odlums, and I have been with, nearly a year at this stage, I'd say. And buttermilk scones are just, they're absolutely one of my favourites. And they're so, so easy. It is, all you really need is a bag of flour and a carton of buttermilk. Like a few other bits you'll have at home. So this recipe is, you're working with about 350-400 grams of self-raising flour, half teaspoon of baking powder, little pinch of salt, 60 grams of caster sugar. I love to use the golden caster sugar, 60 grams of real Irish butter. And then what I've started to do is my stand mixer has a paddle attachment. So it's like a little triangle attachment. So you can either rub in so the butter looks like breadcrumbs, so just until it breaks up, or else, and make sure your butter is cold when you're doing that, or else just put it in this little paddle attachment, or even in your food processor for like 10-15 seconds is all it takes. That chops the butter into little breadcrumbs. So when the butter looks like breadcrumbs, you've got your flour, your baking powder, your salt, then you just pour in the buttermilk, stir it all around. In your sugar goes, stir around, then put it out on your counter and you use like the little kind of the heel of your hand and you're just pulling that mixture from the side into the centre, side into the centre, give it a little spin around. You knead it, pat it down with your hands, get your little scone cutter. If you don't have a scone cutter, use the lid of a jam jar, just something that will cut you a little circular shape, and then pop them on a tray. Little top tip, sprinkle a little bit of flour on your tray first, or grease it, or put it on parchment paper, and that stops your scones from sticking. But they're just easy, lovely scones. Glaze them then with a little bit of egg wash on top, or a bit of milk, and then a little bit of sugar. So we're going to cut one open. We're going to share a scone. You can have one on your own if you want. I don't want to make you share with me, but you know, sometimes I'm a share a scone girl. What makes a scone really lovely is what you put on top of it sometimes. So get the base right, which is a really lovely scone. Like, look how light. So they're kind of flaky and buttery, but they're really light on the inside as well, which is lovely. Lovely little one, as a bit of difference, lemon curd and either a few blueberries or blackberries, which I love. Really nice. We'll have to ask Jennifer
real,
what she likes.
Real
as well.
Blueberries and blackberries.
Real blueberries and blackberries. Okay.
So I'm going to put a little bit of butter on first.
Yeah.
Now, lemon curd, it's funny. I bought a jar of lemon curd recently, first time in 20 years. Oh, but yeah. I remembered lemon curd from when I was a little boy. I used to go to visit a nun, a friend of Mammy's, in Kilcock and Kildare, and she had this Chivers lemon curd, and the taste of it, and
it's tangy,
just,
tangy.
Oh, tangy.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
A little bit of lemon curd, that's the full-on lemon curd. That's a posh lemon curd, that's lovely.
And it's beautiful, it's really, really nice. And then a couple of blackberries or blueberries.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd never do this.
I know. And this is what takes a scone from something average that you're kind of, you know, you're kind of, oh, geez, I can't just give her a scone on Mother's Day, to, oh, a little bit of lemon curd, a little bit of blackberry. Right. Really, really nice. The other thing that's lovely is Bon Maman. So that's the Folon's one. Bon Maman have two. I actually put a picture up the other day on my Instagram. They do a mango and peach jam. Like, I saw a meme before and it was like, you know you're getting to middle age when you're giving people jam recommendations, and I am clearly there. But this is epic. It's just beautiful. So it's peach and mango. Or another little bit of a fancy one, if you went somewhere nice for afternoon tea, what they would give you is an apricot jam or an apricot preserve. So get yourself a little jar of apricot preserve. So rather than it just being a regular ale scone and a bit of jam, all of a sudden you've done a really good scone, but you've elevated it to something really nice. And I think that's lovely. It's the, like, for me, I'm the acts of service girl. So it's the thought that counts for me. And I just think that's lovely. So she digging into the scones here. We're lovely though.
Somebody just texted in, what about knowing when a scone is done? Sometimes you'll have the crisp, depending on your oven, obviously, you have to know your oven. Excuse me, they're really nice.
And they're lovely.
Right, the jam with the, it's lovely. It can be a bit stodgy in the middle.
Yeah.
So you have to be sure.
You do have to be sure. Like, you want it crisp golden on the top. What you can do sometimes is just pick one up and give it a little tap, 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 tap. And if you can hear that, kind of has that almost like a hollow little sound, like a Beuron almost, then that's done. That's your kind of sign. Firm around the edges, golden around the edges, set on top when you press down. Like, it should, bear in mind, most of them are kind of 20 minutes, 20, 22 minutes, 25 minutes. Sometimes you might have to break one in the middle just to see. But it's the residual heat. Don't ever cut them too early, because that little bit of heat that's left in the steam kind of finishes cooking them on the inside as well.
Okay.
So that is important.
That's the thing.
So always just cool them first.
I'm going to take a couple of the bits of fruit. I know you want to take the jars back with you. So just afterwards, I'll have a little bit of the fruit, if that's okay.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm going to leave some for everybody as well.
Are you one of these people, another text in terms of, do you make fancy scones like pear and almond scones?
Oh. A pear and almond.
Do you put currants into scones? Do you like?
I do.
Do you?
I like.
Or do you prefer just a plain scone? My
preference is a plain scone. Love a plain scone. That's what I would take every day. But I do love pear and almond in a scone, is one of my favourites. So you're using a little bit of almond essence, and I find tinned pears. Don't use fresh pears. They're too hard. Tinned pears, drain them, dice them up, mix them in. Like, absolutely gorgeous. Dates are lovely as well. A little bit of dates and a little drizzle of honey. Really, really nice. That's another lovely one. Yeah.
We've only got 4.5 minutes left.
Oh, my God. I've loads to tell you.
Talk to me about this first, please.
So, hummingbird cake.
Hummingbird
so, if
cake.
You were to make a cake for Mother's Day, this is beautiful. It's the most summery, spring-like cake, right? So, this emerged from Jamaica back in the 1960s. It was published in an American food magazine called Southern Living in 1978.
Okay.
And it is still their most popular recipe they have ever published.
I've never heard. It looks like a carrot cake.
Yes.
So what is a hummingbird cake?
So Magnolia Bakery in New York are famous for this. I had been waiting a decade to get to this bakery to taste hummingbird cake, right? It was good. So I was like, okay, well, I've got to go home and make my own version of a cake. This cake uses no mixers, no nothing. So it's the most simplest cake that children can achieve, or anybody who doesn't bake. This is the cake for you. There is oil in a bowl with eggs and vanilla. There's sugar. That's all you're doing. You're just throwing things into a bowl.
Okay.
Into that goes flour. Into that goes 2 mashed bananas and a tin of chopped up pineapples. So they're the pineapples that you buy that are already the chunks.
Mm.
Drain off the juice, throw them in. That's it. That's your cake made. You're literally just putting those things in a bowl, giving it a mix around, putting it in 2 cake tins, baking it in the oven for 30 minutes to 35 minutes. Take it out and cool it. And then, very like you said, with a carrot cake, I've done it with that cream cheese frosting, which is 120 grams of butter, 200 grams of cream cheese, and 400 grams of icing sugar. And it makes the most beautiful icing. And then on top, pecans. And you can put a couple of pecans inside and lime zest on top. So it's like, you know when you talk about Jamaica, why it came from Jamaica? It's almost that little bit of Caribbean. There's the vanilla, the cinnamon in there as well, actually. So you've got that spice.
And Aisling is moving there. She's doing the little...
Those Caribbean dance moves. All your stress is eased away when you eat that cake. So you've got the pecans, you've got the lime, you've got the cinnamon, the vanilla. But it doesn't taste like banana bread.
No.
But it doesn't taste like pineapple cake either.
No.
But they all work together to bring this beautiful flavour. So that's your hummingbird cake. And it's just such a simple one for people.
And did you have a taste of that in the place in New York?
Yeah, I did.
Was it nice?
It was grand.
Just grand.
I had higher expectations. But isn't that always
never
the way?
Never meet your heroes.
Never meet your hero. That is exactly it. That was exactly what happened to me. I'd been building it up for 10 years. Finally got there then. I was like, oh, okay.
Anything else briefly you want to mention?
Food Festival. So if you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, I have, my event is coming up at the Food Festival on the weekend of the 26th. So I'm doing the most beautiful luxury food and wellness day at Salterbridge House. If you don't know Salterbridge House, wowzer, it is one of the most stunning, beautiful estate homes I have ever seen. And I'm very, very honoured to get to work there for the day. So I'm working with Kira Murphy, and when you come in, we're going to do a beautiful yoga session to start off. Then we have a beautiful bespoke cocktail bar. I have a mixologist from the Westbury who's coming down to make beautiful cocktails. So we're going to have Nolo cocktails and regular cocktails. And we're going to talk through mixology, learn a little bit about that. Then you're going to have the most stunning 5-course tasting menu with me for lunch, which is my beautiful hummus, crispy garlic chickpeas, herb oil. I'm going to do parmesan arancini with truffle and smoked onion. I've got halloumi with a black honey and a local greens. Then we've got a Korean chicken with pickled cucumber, crispy ginger and a little bit of coconut. And then we're finishing with a chocolate cremeau with a little bit of olive oil and sea salt. Then to finish, you're going to get to explore the house and the estate. And then we finish out with the most stunning sound bath with Kira. So it is a day of luxury, amazing food and wellness. And there's 5 places left, I think, on that.
Where do people book?
Waterford Food Festival. So the website, go directly to the website and book on the website. So like I said, there's just a few little places left. So snatch them fast if you want one.
Are the lads going to get a scone now?
Oh, they are. Oh, Donna has been, had his eye on a scone all morning. He did help me make them, to be fair. So he's like, "Mom, can I have a scone?" I said, "Yes, of course you can."
Jennifer, will you go and bring the lads in for us? We get a little picture for Aisling, please. Thanks very much. Aisling Larkin, thank you very much.
My absolute pleasure.
Well done. Well done on the half marathon. Congratulations.
Thank you. Onwards and upwards.
Motion is lotion.
Yes, it is. Helps every part of you.
Thanks.